The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
It's time for AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program called Where We Worship. This 30-minute show highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of their parishioners. Now here's your host, Bob Tayek.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and our Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, one such place here in the Diocese of Cleveland, which offers us a wonderful opportunity to enhance our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ, is a treasure located in Euclid on the bluffs above Lake Erie. And I'm speaking of Our Lady of Lourdes National Shrine. Well, this is a very special place. It dates back to the 1920s and is a replica of the grotto in Lourdes, France. And we thought it is especially significant that we talk about the shrine during this month of May, the month dedicated to Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Christ. And why are these shrines, as well as our parishes, essential to our relationship with God? Well, one needs only to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at Our Lady of Lourdes National Shrine in Euclid. And this is your host, Bob Tayek, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and current vibrancy of Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine is Sister Phyllis Ann Lavelle of the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. She's the administrator of Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine. And as we observe this COVID-19 pandemic and the protocols with social distancing, well, Sister Phyllis Ann has been more than willing to join us via the phone. So, Sister, welcome to Where We Worship. We're glad to have you.
Thank you so much, Bob. Glad to be on your show.
Well, let's talk about Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine. It's such a special place, located right here in the Diocese of Cleveland. So first, tell us a little bit about how it came about. I believe its founding and history date back to about 1926.
Well, you know, that's the dedication. That's when Bishop Schrems dedicated the shrine. But the shrine existed way before that. And Mary's visits to the shrine go back to the 1800s, to 1868. It was a farm farmed by the Harms family, a group of, I believe there were four brothers. And one of Lewis's wife, Julia, was a devout Catholic. And she and a group of ladies would say the rosary where we have the grotto today. And she'd say the rosary every day. Well, she was pregnant with a child, and she told her husband that Mary appeared to her and that Mary told her that she would give birth to a child, but that Julia would pass away shortly after that. And she told her husband that, and she made him promise that no matter what happened, that this place would always be a special place for people to come to pray, to devote some time, and to say the rosary. Well, lo and behold, she came to term, had her child, and she did pass away. In order to mark the spot where Mary appeared to her, she asked her husband to plant two evergreen bushes. And if you notice that when you come to the shrine at the grotto, there are two evergreen bushes right there next to the statue. Now, they're not the original ones, of course, but those are the ones that we planted here. So, yes, was the shrine begun in 1926? It was dedicated in 26, but it goes way back to the 1800s.
My goodness. Now, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I wanted to check. I believe there's quite a beautiful story as well as how the first sisters were able to acquire the property so that the shrine could exist there today.
That's absolutely correct. And the sisters who had the shrine in the 1919, 1920 would be the Sisters of the Good Shepherd. And the Sisters of the Good Shepherd were located originally in the 1800s on Euclid Avenue, which would be the old Millionaires Row. And they would bring their charism as taking care of young ladies who needed help. So they would bring the girls up to the shrine, and they would go grape picking. Somewhat similar to, like, if we take a class of children to go apple picking or pumpkin picking or whatever in the fall. The sisters would take the girls on an outing. Well, the superior was Sister Mary Burchamps, and her second really, really loved the shrine. I don't know. I think they did know the story of Julia, but we have something on record that says that the superior said to her, this other sister, wouldn't it be nice if we could get out of the city and bring the girls here? It would be such a peaceful place for them. So in 1920, Mr. Harms sold the property to the Sisters of the Good Shepherd. And that's how the shrine started, shall we say, becoming more formalized. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Now tell me a little bit about your order as the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. How did you come about to really become the operators of the shrine itself?
We're teachers. That's our main charism. And we were founded in 1762 in Italy. And so the beginnings of our order, the sisters were Italian. And so we were invited in 1920 to come to the United States in Bristol, Pennsylvania with the Trinitarian Fathers to teach the Italian immigrants. Well, you know how God works in strange ways. In 1926, one of the Mercedarian Fathers who was in Cleveland had two parishes who were Italian, and they needed sisters who spoke Italian to minister to the Italian immigrants. Well, his cousin was a sister in our order, and she happened to be visiting in Bristol, so he went to Bristol and asked if she could ask, and for him, asking our general if we could come to Cleveland. So in 1926, we came to Cleveland, Ohio, and staffed St. Rocco's first, and then Our Lady of Mount Carmel. As we grew larger in the area and in the diocese, we needed a place as a mother house. So in 1952, our superior went to the bishop and asked the bishop, we need a place for our mother house. And the story goes like this. And the reason why I know the story is because the superior at the time, I was a young sister, and I was stationed in the same place that she was. And she was retiring. And it was my, like, second year of teaching. And so she told me this story. And she said she went to the bishop, and he showed her one property, and she says, no, we can't take that. And then he showed her another property. Oh, no. Well, finally, he showed her the property here at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine. And he said, sister, this is it. If it's not this, it's nothing. And so she said, we'll take it. And then she proceeded to go to a small community. We had a number in those days, and empty their bank accounts so that she could pay the diocese for the shrine. So that's how we came here in 1952. And the Sisters of the Good Shepherd, I believe, went east and were at the Center for Pastoral Leadership, at that time Borromeo Seminary. So, you know, that's kind of a little bit of the background.
That's amazing. Well, coming up, Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine in Euclid, a very special place for many of the faithful, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. Listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, and our guest is Sister Phyllis Ann Lavelle, administrator of Our Lady of Lourdes National Shrine located in Euclid. Our interview being conducted via a special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices required during this COVID-19 pandemic. And Sister Phyllis Ann, as we talk about Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine there in Euclid, first of all, how many of your sisters help you in operating the shrine?
Okay, there are 15 of us who live at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine. There's 15 because this is our mother house in the United States, but this is our only house in the United States. So I'm going to put a pitch out there. So come on, guys, we need your help. And there are also a lot of great volunteers who are here and help us out.
You know, we could talk about that just briefly. I know you have a special commitment from people. I think they're called the Knights and Lady Knights. Tell us about that.
Sure. The Knights were established in 1927, again by Bishop Schrems. And in those days, religious women really didn't get out and conduct any of the activities. And so they set up this group of men, because we're not a parish, so we don't have parishioners. We don't have like ushers. So they were like ushers during the masses. They also led the rosary during the novenas. If we needed any heavy lifting, like in planting or something, and they were always there. In 2016, we opened the group up to women because, again, we were, you know, lacking personnel. So that's basically the Knights. They're great, great people.
Well, that's wonderful. And really, they just come to you if someone would like to join or become a member as such, right? I mean, they would just
talk
to you.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us, what composes the shrine and its grounds? What's available to the faithful when they come?
Oh, a lot of things. There's the chapel, if someone likes the chapel. Just want to put in a plug in again for that superior that I live with. The stained glass windows in the chapel, she had asked an artist to put them together, and they say the story of Our Lady of Lourdes, but there are no words, because she came from Italy, and she told me that she said she didn't want anyone to have any problem understanding the story because they couldn't read the words. And so she was very, very sensitive to that. There's the convent where we live. There's the grotto where the statue of Mary is and where she had appeared to Julia Harms, the water that runs over the stone. We have Rosary Hill, where on Sundays, May through October, hopefully we have 4 o'clock services with rosary up over the hill. We have outdoor stations, we have the gift shop, and we have St. Anne Dining Room, and we also have a labyrinth.
Oh, so you have, that's quite a complex.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me then a little bit about, you know, you mentioned the grotto itself, and I know that some very special, relics and so forth that are located there. Tell us about, first of all, the stones that I think came from Lourdes.
Okay, sure. They are here by the graciousness of Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine in France. They were given as a gift to the Sisters of the Good Shepherd. The Sisters of the Good Shepherd found themselves in France, and I have a sneaking suspicion, I'm not sure, but they probably went to a chapter meeting, which every religious community is called every 6 years to go to, like a family community meeting at the place of where your roots are. We're called every 6 years to go to Rome. I believe they're French, and they were called to go to France. Well, they visited Our Lady of Lourdes, and the priest there was a Dominican, and he needed someone to lead the American pilgrims. So he asked the sisters, who was Mother Mary Burchamps again, and her second, and then another sister, and they did. And as a thank you, he gave them pieces of stone that Mary stood upon at Lourdes, France. So they're right from Lourdes, France. Also, there was a bone, a sliver of a bone, of St. Bernadette. So we have a first-class relic of St. Bernadette. And that first-class relic is located in the gift shop. The stone was broken into a few different pieces, and water runs over the stone at the grotto. Used to be a natural spring, but it is no longer that. It is city water, and it's city water. Cleveland, Ohio, runs over that stone. And there's also, you can put your hand on a stone because it's placed in a piece of marble, and so you can touch it, and many people do, and pray there, make the sign of the cross. That's where the relics came from.
And that's interesting. And let's take it the next step. I've noticed when I've been there, there's actually a visual box and so forth of items that people have left behind who have come there to pray. And I don't want to be sacrilegious in any respect to talk about, you know, miracles happen here, but I get the impression that people had their prayers answered. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have, it's a white little shed. And people have left behind rosaries, shoes, crutches, dresses, all kinds of things. You know, when you look at it, the miracle, and you can call them miracles if you wish, blessings from God, gifts from the Lord. The ones from, I would say, in the 20th century were basically healings from people not being able to walk, people not being able to see. But now, in the 21st century, the healings are from addiction. People leave their, they belong to AA, and they leave their little medallion of 6 months of sobriety. You know, so basically that's what we're seeing. But let me just tell you a real quick story. There was a gentleman here who frequented the shrine since he was a little child, And he was in an accident as a youngster and was blinded in one eye. Well, his mom brought him to Mass here every day. We have Mass here every day, and as in addition to the Sundays, as I told you. And she would bring him up to the grotto, and she would wash his eye. And they were at Mass at the grotto, and the little boy started to fidget. And he started to, you know, Mom, Mom, and she's kind of shushing him along. And here what he said to his mom was, Mom, I can see. And that was right here at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine. As Father raised the host, he could see. Then, as he grew older, I met him when he was in his 90s, actually. Well, maybe 70s, and then later on when he was in his 90s. He told me the story, and he says, you know, sister, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said I'm not going to be able to see because I have macular degeneration. But you know what? I can still see out of the eye that I was cured of when I was a little kid here. So that's his story. That's a gentleman that I know personally, and I could tell you a whole lot. I just got a letter the other day of a lady who needed a job, and she just happened to look in the newspaper, and there was an ad one day, and it was the job that she was looking for, but she had to be away for 3 months, but they wanted the person right away, but they kept it for her, and she prayed at the shrine and asked Our Lady if, please, could they just save it for her, and they did. And she attributes that to her prayers here. I know of people who have not been able to have children and have come here, and lo and behold, you see them, you know, next season with a little baby, pushing a baby in the stroller. I mean, there's a lot of stories regarding blessings given by God to these people.
Well, coming up, Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine, activities, liturgies, what to look forward to when the pandemic restrictions are lifted on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. Listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this May 2020 broadcast is Our Lady of Lourdes National Shrine located in Euclid. This presentation recorded via special audio technology with our guest, the administrator of the shrine, Sister Phyllis Ann Lavelle. And Sister Phyllis Ann, you know, one of the things we should probably make clear, I always like to talk about this, you know, the grotto at your shrine, the shrine, replicates that of Lourdes, France, and Our Lady appeared there to Bernadette in the mid-19th century. And for our non-Catholic listeners in particular, explain our dedication to Our Lady, the shrine being a place to worship God, not necessarily we're not going to worship Blessed Mother, but nevertheless, give us a little reflection, if you will, on the mission.
I'd be happy to. I'm so glad you asked as well, because people are really confused about that. If you really go into the apparition of Lourdes, some people skip right over this comment that Mary gives Bernadette, and they go right to the miracles. Everybody wants to know about the miracles. Well, the thing is, Mary tells Bernadette, go to your pastor and have him build a church here so the people can come in procession to my son. She points them directly to her son. And then, you know, the prayer that we all say of the rosary, people say, oh, we're praying to Mary. We're not praying to Mary. We're praying with Mary, because each of the mysteries are Christocentric. They're not centered upon Mary. Surely she was instrumental. She was great in these mysteries. Okay, but she is the one always pointing the finger to Jesus. You know, if you go to the Sorrowful Mystery and Jesus is on the cross and he says to John, behold your mother. He's not saying it just to John. He's saying it to all of us. Behold your mother. And so that relationship between mother and son. And I think if people would research even the other apparitions of Fatima, Guadalupe, you know, all down the line, Mary always points to her son, go to my son. So, and that's kind of just a nutshell. I don't want to, you know, go on, but that's about it.
Sister, when our lives return to normalcy, the pilgrims can gather in groups. Tell us about the various activities that are conducted on a regular basis at the shrine that are available to folks, or, you know, other reasons why they should stop by off Chardon Road, right? Chardon Road in Euclid.
That's right. Yeah, it's in Euclid, Ohio, but it's on Chardon Road. It's 21281 Chardon Road, Euclid, Ohio. We have Mass every single day, okay? Now, the Sunday Mass is May through October, and this is a really weird May, are 8 o'clock and usually 9:30 outside. We have Father out at the grotto. We have novenas. We have the novena to the Assumption in August. We have a triduum, which is a three-day prayer, and that's to St. Anne's in July. And then we have the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. We have another novena in February. We have all kinds of activities. We have those particular things that I just said to you. Also, though, if you want to arrange a tour, and usually the tour is spiritual in tenor, you know, you would come and pray. If you brought your own priest, you could have a Mass said, because it's all sisters here, so obviously we can't do that. But say the rosary, have some type of prayer service. We can also provide a meal for you for 40 or more people, but you'd have to call and make reservations for that, and we're available for that. We have had children from ages of preschool. We have homeschoolers. We have high schoolers. This summer, and usually every summer, we have like the camps, the parish camps of religion that come out, and they have to dedicate one day to a religious experience. So they come out here, and it's outside. The kids love it. And we take them up to the grotto. We take them up over Rosary Hill. We do the outdoor stations. We talk about Our Lady of Lourdes and the stained glass windows in Our Lady of Lourdes. So we got a lot of different activities. Sundays also, we have rosary at 4 o'clock, followed by benediction. And if you check, again, if you do some research, most of the miracles in Lourdes, France, happen when the priest or the deacon bless the sick with the Eucharist and in benediction. So those are the things that we have.
And that's very good. You know, I was just wondering, during this pandemic, I realize people cannot gather and so forth, but do you and the sisters, or have you had any special, if you will, prayer services or appeals to...
What we've done is, the grounds are open from sunrise until sunset, so people are welcome to come and pray on their own. But what we've done on the Internet is we have the prayer to Our Lady of Lourdes, and we've asked the folks who have, we have their Internet, we have their address, their email address, and so asked for a novena. And so we prayed the prayer to Our Lady of Lourdes for 9 days, and then after that, we prayed another novena in thanksgiving for gifts received. And we did that for the pandemic, but basically we have not been able to have any type of services because of the rules from the state. And of course that's for safety. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. We do have, now the gift shop is kind of open, but kind of not. If you come to the Knights Room and ring the doorbell, people always want candles. And so we'll sell them a candle so they can light it at the grotto and go pray. And also they want the water. And remember I told you that the water flows over the stone. Well, it's not turned on yet because of the weather. And so we have the stone in the convent, and we keep it in a huge crock, and then we'll fill the bottle. We have our bottles that they can purchase, and it's just a small little bottle for $1, and then they'll purchase their bottle of water and their candle. And basically that's what we've been doing for the pandemic.
Very good. How can a listener learn more about the shrine? Website or email? How can
they
go
about? Yes. You know what? We have our website. It's www.srstrinity, that's the word trinity, .com. They can also email us at osst@srstrinity.com. And then there's the gift shop telephone number if you want to talk directly to them, and that's 216-481-0900. I know that we've had a lot of phone calls, and people have asked for items, and we have mailed them out to them during this pandemic.
Well, that's very good. Sister Phyllis Ann Lavelle, administrator at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine off Chardon Road in Euclid. Thank you for being our guest, and you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring Our Lady of Lourdes National Shrine right here in Euclid, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and our personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship, AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program highlighting the rich histories and significance of Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches. If you missed any part of the show, listen to the program in its entirety on our website at am1260therock.com under the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.